So all this week, Life Issues has been bringing you some thoughts around the subject of death and dying. I know, happy topic this week. But actually, it is important, isn't it, that we understand and share accurately the biblical perspective on this subject. Anne Clifford is the wife of Steve Clifford, the head of Evangelical Alliance, and also is also the author of a book called Time to Live, where she explores the issues around facing death with faith. It's a lovely book full of some great thoughts and great concepts in it. And it was a book that was written at a time when, as a family, they were facing some very real personal pressure and concerns that the topic that she was sharing and writing the book about may well actually be relevant in their lives in a way that they really didn't want. When I spoke to her recently, that's where we started. I confess that the Skype line that we were on, the Skype connection we were on, was a little bit dodgy. But what she had to say moved me so much that I thought, it's worth pressing through with this, even though it is at times difficult to hear, difficult to listen to. I encourage you to press through with it because it's so important that we take the time, even in times of great personal pressure and fear, to consider how we say goodbye in keeping with God's heart. This is Anne Clifford.
Yes, my lovely son, who I adore, is married to Asher, and they gave birth to our first grandchild earlier this year, and he was born really quite premature at 33 weeks, and he was very small. The reason he was born was because he wasn't growing, so he was the size of a packet of sugar and a couple of sugar lumps, and you never know what's going to happen.
Indeed.
And I have experienced being with parents alongside them when their babies have sadly died, and so I know it's possible. So I was really with my son and his wife in praying that this child would live.
And although I hesitate to ask it, I know that you do reveal it towards the end of your book. How is your grandson?
He is growing really, really well. Tremendous. And he's put on weight, and he's an absolute joy into everything.
Excellent.
Incredibly alert.
Yes.
And he's now 7 months. Of course, he's still small for his actual birth age, but that's understandable.
Yes. And it is the miracle of life is something to be celebrated and to be enjoyed. But of course, as you point out in your book, the reality is that the miracle of life has an inevitable element to it, an element that perhaps we often hide from. We don't, as a society, we don't like to acknowledge death too much. In fact, it drove you to quote Monty Python, didn't it?
It did. Yes, the dead parrot sketch. Yes, we've got all sorts of names for dying and death, and we really, really don't like to talk about it. And in fact, less people are preparing for death by just the thing of making a will than before. So we're obviously trying to avoid it. And I know that so much money is going into seeing death is simply a sickness that can be overcome by people in Silicon Valley. So there's a real sense that people do not want to die.
What do you think has been the change that's happened in society?
Before, people used to deal with death very regularly. It was such a regular occurrence. You didn't expect to live so long. And I suppose our expectation now is that we are going to live longer and longer. And for some reason, we do not like to acknowledge our mortality. I think Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, in her book, states the fact that we think we're going to be eternal, which isn't true, but there is truth in it, isn't it, as we are Christians. I think it's a very interesting thing that deep within us, being made in the image of God, we have a sense that we will live eternally. And indeed, there's truth in that, because, of course, as we know Jesus and a relationship with him, we do bask in the light of eternity now. And that will only continue as we move from life on earth into life with him.
What is the goal of time to live?
I suppose the most basic reason I wrote it was about helping us to have the conversation. And I've only spoken about it once so far, which that will be changing over this autumn. But what I was interested in is that one of the people in the congregation at the time came up to me and said, well, I didn't buy the book at the time, he said, but I saw my mum after I'd listened to you talk. And somehow we were able to then have a conversation about it. So I suppose I'm trying to give people words to talk about it. Because I remember with my own father, who died 2004, we knew that Dad was going to die because he had cancer at this point. And I wanted to have the conversation. And honestly, I was useless. I really didn't know how to do it. I tried my best. I got a few things out of him. My other sisters just couldn't cope with talking about it at all. And I thought, oh my word, it would be really good to find words for this and ways to do it.
Yeah. And the tragedy is, of course, that even within the church, where we, you know, as the Bible says, do not grieve as those who have no hope, we have an eternal hope, etc., etc. Yeah. Even within that promise, we still, it's almost as though we are scared of talking about dying.
I think we are, and I think that's such a shame, because of course what can happen, and I allude to this in the book, is that I do believe in a God who heals. I have personally experienced supernatural healing. And there are times when God will heal supernaturally, but I really don't understand it. And it's great that we do pray and many people are touched by God. But if we continue to pray and to pray and to pray, believing this person is going to live, what happens is you don't end up having the conversation.
Yes.
The person might not make a will, and all these things which make it so difficult for those you leave behind. And of course, there's so much opportunity as a Christian. We're going to be with the Lord. So there's so much opportunity to say really good things and to be our best selves in this as we move from life on earth to life with him supernaturally.
Because as you say, when we receive God's all-embracing love, death is only a portal to our future. I like that, because there have been all sorts of phrases like that, you know, he did not leave, he just went into the next room and all that sort of thing. But actually, I confess that death is only a portal to our future appeals to the Star Trek fan that is in me. I think that conveys it really nicely for me. Now, one of the things, as you've alluded to already, that you are keen that we should do is not only talk about the spiritual element of facing dying, not only talk about the relational element of facing dying, but also talk about the practical element. And you very distinctly split your thoughts into two parts. So we have that sort of spiritual, emotional, relational element, but then we have the nuts and bolts, the practicals, make a will, explain to people what you like, explain to people what you would like your end of life care to be like. Why was it important to you to make that differentiation?
Well, I wanted to explore it for myself because it's a minefield of decisions that you have to make. And again, thinking of when my dad died, in Holland, where he died, you have to have the funeral within 7 days. Well, 9 hours after my father had died, the funeral people were back asking all these questions. And we didn't really have a clue.
Yeah.
And it would have been so much more helpful if, and of course you're grieving. The last thing you want to do is choose a coffin, choose where they're going to be buried, etc., etc., or cremated, whatever it is. Whereas if the person who's died has made all this preparation, then it's so much easier for the family. And we prepare for all the big events in our lives, our wedding, our children's birth, everything we prepare. It seems to me that it's such a good idea to prepare for the practicalities of dying. And so I try to look at the whole vista to help people find their way through with lots of practical information and choices, lots of choices.
And making clear what we think about those choices. And I suppose that comes into things like organ donation, as I say, the sort of care we have. But even down to, you know, the sort of music you like to be playing in your room when you start to move towards that point. And perhaps you've moved beyond the ability to put your own CD or pick your own track to play, to actually have conveyed that sort of information so that it is a... See, I hesitate to use the phrase, but so that it can be as positive an experience passing through that portal for us and for those that we leave behind as possible.
Oh, definitely. I mean, this is our last word that we will have on this earth, how we do this. We're Christians. It's our last opportunity for service to the God we love on this earth. And the opportunity for the gospel and for people to really understand that you are going to be with the person that you've loved all your life and to explain who that person is in the person of Jesus, I think it's the most fantastic opportunity.
Yes. And I suppose it's also, in fairness, an opportunity for us in acknowledging and facing our own impending mortality, whether it come in a year or 10 years or whenever, in doing that, to recognize that actually there are things to be put in place that where we consider that which is to come and make spiritual preparation for that as well.
Yes, and I think in the practical preparation, you see, if we don't prepare, then choices are taken out of our hands and indeed the hands of our immediate family. We sort of imagine that the immediate family are the ones who will make the decisions, but actually unless we make that legal, that is not necessarily so. And when I found that out, I thought I definitely want to do something about that.
And we really should, shouldn't we? Again, apologies for the quality of the connection with Anne there, but she makes some really good points, doesn't she? Which is why I wanted to give you a chance to hear it. Anne Clifford is the author of Time to Live. It's published by our friends at instantapostle.com. You can also find it online. And we've got two copies to give away today. Two copies. So...